From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carol Cancel, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Great show for you this week. Later on, Lynn Cheney, wife of the vice president, will be joining us to play our Not My Job game. You might call her brave for coming on our show, submitting herself to our barbs, but she's been married for almost 50 years to Dick Cheney. She has dodged incoming fire before. We promise a warm reception to you, though, if you call us up to play our games. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello, this is Heather in Seattle, Washington.
Hey, Heather, how are you?
Well, thanks.
What do you do there in Seattle?
I'm a policy analyst.
Okay.
Exactly. It's a kind of a conversation killer.
Yeah. So when you're at parties and bars and you want to impress people, what do you say you are instead?
A ninja.
There you are.
Or something exciting.
Heather, let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a humorist and writer who is completely responsible for everything you find at the site Baudette.com, Mr. Tom Baudette.
Hello, Heather.
Hello. Hi.
Also deputy editor of the Houston Chronicle and the blogger known as Mimo, Ms. Kiri O'Connor.
Hello.
And lastly, say hello to comedian Paul Provenza.
Hello, Heather.
Hi, Paul.
Well, welcome to the show, Heather. You're going to play Who's Carl this time, of course. Carl Castle will start us off by recreating three voices from this week's news. Your job, of course, identify or explain just two of them. Do that, you'll win his voice on your home answering machine. Ready to go?
Great.
All right.
Yes, thank you.
Here we go. Here's your first quote.
We write the story for Eva Longoria.
That was one of the many interesting chants shouted by some workers who went out to picket lines this week. Who is on strike?
The Writers Guild of America.
You're right, the WGA. Very good. Hollywood TV and movie writers marched on picket lines this week. It was very hard for the writers, mainly because most of them live and work in L.A. and had forgotten how to walk. The stars, bless their hearts, are supporting the strike for the most part. Eva Longoria, aforementioned in the chant, sent some pizzas out to her striking writers. Bill Maher, following suit, sent out some spare prostitutes. He said he had ordered too many, so it was okay. The TV and motion picture producers, who believe that the writers should be grateful for their lump of coal, are digging in for a writerless TV season. ABC will premiere its new game show, Miming with the Stars. Look, Peggy Fleming seems to be in a box of some kind. CBS will broadcast Andy Rooney reads the Constitution from the manuscript. It's so hilarious when he pronounces the S's like F's. And PBS will air endless reruns of concerts by John Tesh and Susie Orman specials, so PBS viewers will notice no difference at all. What's interesting about the strike is one of the things they're striking about, of course, is video residuals. Because back when they created the agreement that had lasted until now in 1988, it never occurred to them that people would ever go out and spend hundreds of dollars on the complete video library of old TV series. I mean, they just never imagined that. And my question is, were they stupid for not imagining that phenomenon, or are we stupid for doing it?
Well, the writers are really taking this strike seriously. I saw one of the picket lines, everybody holding blank placards.
Yes.
They are not screwing around.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
They're committed.
Very good, Heather. Here is your next quote, and it is the President of the United States.
You need to take off your uniform.
President Bush was not, as it might seem, getting jiggy with a military aide. No. He was giving stern advice to an erstwhile ally in his global war for freedom who had declared martial law and suspended elections in his country. Who needs to take off that uniform stat?
It would be Pakistan's President Musharraf.
Exactly, Pervez Musharraf. Very good. Personal friend of the president, recipient of billions of dollars in aid, and an ally in the global war on terror, the president of Pakistan realized there was a fatal flaw in the concept of giving his people the choice in their leaders. They might choose someone else. So, since he's also head of the army, what luck, he canceled the election, sent the troops into the streets. One of the strangest things about the unrest in Pakistan is that the protests against the government are being led by lawyers. Hundreds of black suit and tie lawyers out in the streets. The Pakistani lawyers stand for freedom and democracy. It was inspirational to their American brethren here at home until the American lawyers realized that the Pakistani lawyers weren't in fact billing anybody for their hours. All right, Heather, you still with us?
I am.
All right, here is your last quote.
I'm a U.S. friend, but no French poodle.
That's one newspaper's headline summing up whose seduction campaign in the United States this week.
That would be Nicolas Sarkozy.
Oh, she's good. Yes, Sarkozy, the darkly handsome, newly single French president. He came to Washington this week to assure President Bush that he would do anything to, quote, reconquer the heart of America. In a series of talks, the French papers nicknamed Operation Seduction. Really, their mind only, they've one-track mind, the French. And it was a tremendous seduction. Bush and Sarkozy's whirlwind 26-hour courtship included just vats of rosé champagne at a White House dinner, which ended with a romantic reenactment of the meeting of George Washington and the Marquis de Lafayette. True. That was the post-dinner entertainment. Perhaps the best moment of our new alliance occurred when Mr. Bush spoke five whole words in French. That's five if you count a la as two of them. And in a remarkable gesture of international friendship, Mr. Sarkozy restrained himself from laughing. Carl, how did Heather do in our quiz?
Heather was good, Peter. She had three correct answers. So, Heather, I'll be doing the message on your home answering machine.
Oh, fabulous.
Congratulations, Heather.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for playing our game. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.